For our business sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on this broadcast as we face the issues. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authoritative Word of God. It is the truth book. We see the Word of God as being the first, foremost, and final authority of any issue, any subject that we discuss. And may I say to you, I've said for many, many, many years, it's time that Christians in particular get back to having a central biblicist worldview. Perhaps you say, well, what does that mean? That means that everything that we see, everything that is done, everything that takes place politically, socially, economically, militarily, theologically, and doctrinally, that we view it through the prism of what does the Word of God say. You know, it makes a big difference on how we view things. You know, we can look at what's happening in the world today and start having hair on fire, pulling our hair out, saying, what in the world's the world coming to? I'll tell you what it's coming to. It's coming to an end. How do I know that? The Word of God says so. We understand what is happening. And I'm excited when I see the Word of God leaping off the pages of Scripture in the fulfillment of what God has said that will take place, especially as we look at the final days that we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. When I look at the Scripture, especially in John 8, 31 and 32, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, the Scripture says, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And I have for many, many years had a little pun in relationship to asking that question, well, how long is forever? It is forever. Unending. The truth of the Lord is unending. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today where there's a mindset that truth does not matter. There's a mindset that truth is something that is bad. In fact, I'm finding more and more people that believe that somehow, some way, their facts are all that counts. And many times it is not a matter of the facts. It's a matter of how the facts are viewed. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be true today. There's a major wrangling. If you don't believe that's the case, just listen to the socialist Marxist media and see how they spin truth, how they bifurcate truth, what they say about truth. Listen, a good example of that is recently, as you know, there's an attempted assassination on the life of President Donald J. Trump. And we had, even at one point, the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, say that, well, we're not positive that a bullet really hit his ear. It could have been a fragment or shards from the teleprompter that was hit, perhaps. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't bifurcate truth. Truth is truth. And yet the secularist George Orwell, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find there's a detesting, a rejection, a refusal to listen to truth and believe truth. The Word of God has no errors. I never will forget, less than 100 years ago, in Bible college, had a young man in one of the classes that like to talk about the fact that the Bible had errors in it, and I asked him to write some of those down. And he did not want to. There are a lot of people today that say there's an error in the Scripture. What you're saying, ladies and gentlemen, when you say you found an error in the Scripture, you're saying that you found an imperfection in God, that God's made a mistake someplace. God didn't make a mistake. The things that we see happening today on a local level, state level, national and international level, it is the revelation of what God has already said shall take place. We just need to understand that God is on the throne, that God is the one that's in charge of that. I'm looking at an article that says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Let me read that headline again. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And it's talking about the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group. This article reads that 55% of the millennials, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth, one source of truth, and it's the truth of the Word of God. Let me just share this thought. I like to quote this portion of Jan Hus's position and statement, the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, that we listen to the truth, learn it, love it, live it, and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about their power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole, you'll find Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. That's toolfortime.com. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing today a question. We're in the voting season. This is an election year. And let me say for the millionth time, not literally, but absolutely saying it over and over again, the direction for America is predicated on how we vote in this election cycle. So perhaps you're asking the question as a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot. You're asking the question, how should I vote? So my question today, the issue we're discussing today, how should Christians vote? How should Christians vote? Should we just go into the voting booth willy-nilly, go down the list and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and check a block? Is that the way we vote? How should a Christian vote? Ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly coming to the moment, coming to the decision-making that every voting citizen and multitudes of others will cast a ballot for the local, state, and national election. And the candidates we vote for, ladies and gentlemen, they may have an R behind their name or a D behind their name, but ladies and gentlemen, a Christian simply cannot vote for a candidate based on party affiliation. Listen to what I'm saying. A Christian cannot just vote for party affiliation. We're going to be talking about that today. When I say we, I've got Dr. Glenn Davis with me today. Dr. Davis is a faithful partner on Fridays as we talk about biblical issues, and especially looking at it now in this election cycle, asking the question, how should a Christian vote? How should we as Christians, listen carefully, this will make the difference. You need to perhaps do some examination. There are a lot of folks today that's listening. Perhaps you need to say, am I truly bought, Bible saved, born again? Because listen, in my most humble opinion, there's a good litmus test, Dr. Davis, to determine if a person is truly saved. A saved person, my Bible says, all things are passed away, and behold, let's look intently and see, all things, not some things, all things have become new. And if it is a Christian, there must be a new vote, a new attitude, a new mindset, a new prerogative in our lives if we're truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. So, Dr. Davis, just a quick introductory thought from you. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, is this an important election for us on a national level in particular? What are your thoughts? Very quickly, just a little summary thought for us.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for, amen, inviting me here as usual on Fridays. Amen. It's always a pleasure and a joy to be here. I want to say good morning to my bride of 38 years and all of my family and friends. Amen. Everyone that are listening on today, certainly it's very important for us to come to the conclusion of what we need to do, since they have done such a great job keeping us confused.
That's right.
Because basically, Dr. Youngblood, and first, and let me say this too, in addition to what I want to say, let me congratulate you because you did a marvelous job not to be the son of a prophet prophesying the fact about Joe Biden not being on the ticket when it comes down to the presidential primary.
Absolutely.
And I think you said that for the past 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. I've been saying that since just before the election, before Biden supposedly, and it's a mirage to say that Biden got 81 million votes. But let's just say that he did. He's been in the Oval Office now for almost 4 years. But I've said for almost the entire time that he was cognitively unable to lead the nation. And I've said for several years now that Biden's name will not be on the ballot November the 5th, 2024.
Amen.
And it is exactly where we stand today. And Dr. Davis has another little footnote that I need to add to that. You know, there's no cliche. For some, it might be an embarrassment. It ain't over until the fat lady sings. You know, you've heard that.
Amen. Amen.
It's not over with the confusion, the chaos that'll come out of it. Chicago of 1968 was chaos, confusion, and calamity for the Democratic Party. And I contend that chaos, confusion, and calamity will be the fate of the Democratic Party in Chicago on the 20th of this month. I believe that there's going to be a major battle because there are a lot of folks that are unhappy with the conniving, backdoor, elitist decision on how they've carried this out. Kamala Harris is the supposed candidate. I still have questions. I cannot definitively say, but I still have questions whether or not she will still be the candidate after their convention on the 20th of this month. In fact, I don't know that our general listeners are aware of it or not. She has had her total, how would you say, social media wiped clean in her candidacy for the two of them, Biden and Waltz, W-A-L-Z, for Biden and Waltz, president, vice president's candidate. There's not one thing on any of their accounts that shows their platform, what they're for, what they're against, how they're going to run, anything. I listened to a very brief statement that she had yesterday. She said that our whole focus, our, speaking of her candidacy, our whole focus is building people up, not tearing them down. What does that mean?
For me, I will not buy that.
That's right.
I wouldn't give her two wooden nickels.
That's right.
For what she just said. Because, again, they are masters of confusion. Because for me, and I'm going to say this and we're going to move on, there's still some unanswered questions mm-hmm. about this administration because,
yes.
for me, number one, concerning them, you know, what about the cocaine in the White House?
Yeah.
I mean, we never heard any.
By the way, the same Secret Service that allowed, and they did, they allowed the attempted assassination on President Trump. It's the same Secret Service director that wanted to make all of the evidence about the cocaine in the White House disappear.
Well,
and it hushed the investigation. She, the former director of the Secret Service, stopped it dead in its tracks. Why did she do that, in my opinion? She knew that it was by Hunter Biden that had brought it into the White House.
Well,
nor the source.
That's it. You know, again, now there's confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then, again, you know, why the bailing out or paying the bail
mm-hmm.
for hardcore criminals like they did?
Yes.
We're talking about this administration that people are still considering to cast a vote for.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to stop that right there because we can probably spend the rest of the day talking about the different things concerning that. But here's what Christians, I'm talking about believers
yes.
in Christ Jesus, need to come to know and understand.
Share with us, yes.
I know that many of us, by tradition, were taught to vote for Democrats,
mm-hmm.
the Democratic Party.
Yeah, the Democratic, by the way, if I can jump in, the Democratic Party today is nothing close to the Democratic Party
Not
of the
even.
40s and 50s.
Not
nothing
even.
Close. Nothing
Not
close
even.
To the Jack Kennedy Democratic Party. It is far left from that. It is a socialist, Marxist, if you please, campaign today that we see taking place.
That's right. So what I'm going to say, and I'm just going to wrap this up right here, we have to be so willing to love God and keep his commandments
mm-hmm.
to where we are also willing to break contact,
mm-hmm.
if I can say that.
Yes.
Any contact or any connection with tradition so that we can make the right decision.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if we don't do that, then Dr. Youngblood, wherever we fail at in the past, we're subject to repeat it again
Absolutely.
Right now.
And the little book of James says that it's more than just earthly wisdom. It says earthly wisdom is sensual and demonic, whereas heavenly wisdom is from God. And we need, if there's no other time in the history of our nation, Christians, conservatives, and patriots need godly wisdom today
Amen.
To make the decision.
Amen. And here's one scripture, one verse of scripture. Amen.
Share that.
Coming from
yes.
Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yes.
That speaks loud volumes to Christians if you are willing to obey what the Word of God says.
That's the key.
So if we base what we're doing, how we live today, how we respond to political issues, social issues, whatever the case might be, if we stick with the Word of God, like it just said, what I just read in this verse, denying ungodliness, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, then Dr. Youngblood, we won't have any problem making the right decision when it comes down to everything connected with this life.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, you saying that reminded me of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove, that literally to demonstrate, what is the good and acceptable and perfect, that is the word mature, will of God.
Amen.
I believe it's time that as Christians, we come out from among them and be ye separate, as the scripture says. Now, Dr. Davis, we just touched on, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis and I will be having a pretty, how would you say, hefty decision, dialogue and discussion about today's subject, how should Christians vote? But you can jump in that dialogue and discussion by dialing 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. You can jump in at any point you'd like to. Ask your question. Perhaps you'd like to remonstrate against our position that Christians cannot vote for the D or the R. We need to vet the candidates and vote according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, we talked about a moment ago that the Democratic Party is not what it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. As some elitist would have us to try to convince us that it is, I want to just give a quote, read a quote of what one very prominent former Democrat, a very prominent, we'll call the name in a moment, a very prominent former Democrat says this, quote, I could no longer associate myself with the elitist cabal of woke warmongers led by Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. And then this former Democrat listed some of the reasons some of the grievances that were held, the reason she made the decision. Let me just quickly read the list of what this former Democrat said that caused her to leave the Democratic Party. She said she left the Democratic Party because of weaponizing of government against the people, gutting our Second Amendment, allowing men and women sports, supporting the mutilation of children's bodies in the name of gender affirmation care, censoring votes voices of those that they do not approve of, enabling the cartel and supporting illegal immigration, enabling the cartel and supporting illegal immigration. These are the things that this former Democrat said that caused that person to leave the Democratic Party. Further stated, targeting people of faith and of spirituality, pushing America toward World War III and nuclear Armageddon, undermining our free speech. This person concluded with these words in that statement. Today's Democratic Party is controlled by the most extreme power, power-hungry Democrats and politicians of any group in America. That is written by Tulsi Gabbard, a former prominent Democratic voice. That is a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you can find a statement any more fundamental and rudimentarily in context with what we're talking about today. But we're talking about focusing on what a Christian should do, how a Christian, and I could just expand that, how Christians and conservatives and patriots ought to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians and conservatives need to recognize, Dr. Davis, I call it the demonic powers that are at work in our nation today to destroy the destiny and the future of our great nation, United States of America. Liberals today, ladies and gentlemen, are wanting us to believe that somehow, some way, we need to tear down and destroy the fundamental foundations that God's given us. And Dr. Davis, in Psalms 11:3, the Bible says, if our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Amen.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit that dwelleth within you, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God's holy, which temple ye are. And I touch on that those two particular verses, because one of the things that the average Christian does not recognize that's on the ballot, and it's specifically on the ballot for the state of Florida, which is Amendment 3, which is making pot, that is marijuana, available on a recreational basis. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a wicked, evil approach to absolutely destroying our cities, our states, and the nation. And it's going to be on the ballot. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And I'd love to hear from you, 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Should a Christian vote for abortion? Should a Christian vote for marijuana to be legalized? Should a Christian vote for the butchering and the barbaric practices of butchering healthy body parts under the guise of health care, under the guise of transgenderism? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just touch on this. And Dr. Davis, you can respond to this if you have anything to add to it. My Bible says that God created two genders. Male and female created he them, the scripture says. That's on the right page, the left column. In fact, it's definitively Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created two genders. So under this transgenderism mindset, which is a total demonic delusion that a person can change their gender by just deciding that's what I want to be. It's an impossibility, Dr. Davis, in my most humble opinion, for a Christian to vote for any candidate, any party, any group that stands for the transgenderism, woke, Marxist approach that's being taken today.
Amen, amen. And then, you know, Dr. Youngblood, what's so sad about that, what you just got finished saying? Some who are confessing to be Christians are making that decision.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
To have a sex change.
Yes.
Okay, so what you're really saying is that God made a mistake.
Yes.
I should have been a woman instead of a man, or I should have been a man instead of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I do not go along with that, because nowhere in Scripture have I ever read that when God said he made a male and female, that he came back in another portion of Scripture and said, I made a mistake. I meant to make him the other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So instead of a man, I need to make the man a woman, and I need to make the woman a man. You don't see God saying that.
We've got a confused United States Supreme Court justice that in her confirmation process, when asked what is a woman, she said, I'm not a biologist. I don't know.
And
I can't say.
That is very sad with her being a woman.
Yes.
So you're telling me you don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
With all of this education and this clout and all these credentials behind your name, now you're sitting in a position of judgment, I mean, where you can make decisions for the rest of the country,
mm-hmm.
for laws to be passed, and you're saying you really can't even tell me who you are.
But listen to the idiocy, if I can call it that, of this whole particular scenario. We've got Kamala Harris now and those that are following her campaign that's rejoicing how wonderful it is that we have a woman of color, a woman, W-O-M-A-N, of color. Yet they're calling her a woman, and yet supposedly the Supreme Court justice says we can't identify a woman. So is Kamala Harris really a woman? If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of the idiocy that's being bounded about. And yet Christians are buying into being sold the bill of goods, being sold the demonic lie that it's okay to follow, believe, and to vote for based on that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It doesn't make any difference about the tonation of the skin or the gender of the person. We need to look at what that person stands for and what they're going to do in promulgating their plans and their plots and their program and the process of what they're going to carry out if they're elected in their positions. It can be on a local level for the city council or the school board members. It could be on a state level. It could be on a national level. But we as Christians need to be very, very careful, Dr. Davis, of how we vote. The decisions that Christians and conservatives make this election cycle, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this election cycle will determine the destiny of America. And so it is of ultimate importance, Dr. Davis, that Christians know how to vote. And I don't mind telling folks how to vote. They say, well, you're not supposed to tell someone. Yes, I can. It is the watchman on the wall, the responsibility of pastors and Christian leaders to take a stand, to vet the candidates, and to say to the congregation and to other Christians, this person stands for this, and this one stands for this. This is against God's word. This is for God's word. This is the candidate God would have us to vote for. That person, they can walk in that booth and go against God's will if they want to, but it's the responsibility. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if a Christian were to tell you if you walk outside the church doors there's something that's dangerous and deadly, and you walk out and you can't identify it, what do you do? I believe it's the pastor's responsibility to Dr. Davis to identify the candidates, talk about and vet the candidates, and let the world know how these candidates stand and the dangers they're in if they're placed in the political office.
Amen.
I'm looking
Amen.
At a headline, Dr. Davis. Kamala Harris sent agents to raid pro-life journalist's home after she met with abortionist, according to the email record.
Wow.
This article reads in part, it's a five-page article. There's no coincidence whatsoever that we see the escalation in the weaponization of the powers of the federal government on behalf of the criminal abortion industry and against peaceful pro-life demonstrators as soon as Kamala Harris gets into the White House. And it goes back, ladies and gentlemen, to 2016 when Planned Parenthood officials in California met with Kamala Harris, and they talked with Kamala Harris about what they were doing and what they wanted done. And then this article says about 2 weeks later, on April the 5th, 2016, California Department of Justice authorities raided the home of a pro-life journalist in his late 20s, David Darrellin, the head of the Center for Medical Progress, who recently published videos allegedly showing Planned Parenthood officials gruesomely describing how to extract aborted baby parts so that they could sell them. And as a result of that coming to light and the Planned Parenthood realizing it, they sat with Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris used the authority of her office as Attorney General to have the people that were exposing that prosecuted, persecuted, and in many cases, in fact, this young man that did the undercover video footage, Dr. Davis, has spent 9 years now fighting the system because of the prosecution started by Kamala Harris as a pro-life person. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the need for Christians to know how to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We got about the top of the hour news break. Be right back right after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. A proposal first championed by former President Trump a few months